The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
My dreams. I've had enough of these annoying and distracting schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strong Rider on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. And that's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along. My mind's made up.
It's always a treat and a pleasure to talk to somebody in the music business or an artist whose star is rising or is just starting out. And that's who we get to talk to today. Her name is Kanisha Kay. She's from Michigan, born and raised. And she is really making a splash in the world of pop music with her sweet yet also soulful vocals. You'll get to hear that soon enough, but let's get to know her. Kanisha Kay, welcome to Strong Rider on the Radio.
Nice to be here.
So, let's see. You are... I never usually ask a woman her age, but it already—they gave it away here. You're 21 years old.
Yep.
What you must have started young because you've already accomplished a few things. How? When did you get started in music?
I started my recording career at 17.
Okay.
So I did start really young, and I've just been nonstop since then, and working really hard. And I've got a lot of projects finished, so that's really great. And I think I was really lucky to be at that age to start.
When did you first start in this journey in life? Were you singing as a young kid, or did this just sort of overnight happen that you heard something on the radio, or what? How did it happen for you?
Well, when I was in eighth grade, I was just singing in my room to Alicia Keys. I love Alicia Keys, and my mom came upstairs and was like, you know, really curious, because I didn't, you know, I grew up like every other little kid. I'd sing The Lion King, but, you know, I wasn't like trying to be a singer. So she was very curious because I didn't go around my house singing or anything. And she comes in my room and is like, was that just you singing along? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, really? And I was like, yeah, that was really me. And she's like, well, you know, you have a really great voice. Like, you might want to think about singing or something. So I took a couple voice lessons from a friend locally. And it was kind of just something I did for fun at that point.
Right.
And then I transferred from band to choir in ninth grade, and then I did choir through high school, and that's really all the singing I did. So it wasn't like something that was predetermined or anything.
Sounds like you had a very normal childhood. It was not, you didn't have a stage mother. She just saw something. She just was inspired by what she heard.
Yeah. I mean, my parents are extremely supportive in anything that we choose to do. I was always a basketball player. So that was like my number one thing. And I, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play college ball. I wanted to, like, that was it for me. So, I think they kind of thought it would just be fun for like a hobby to sing. Or maybe, you know, just in high school, because I played other instruments and, you know, they always had us trying instruments and we were a very musical family. So I think that's kind of why it was easy for me to go into singing.
It's hard to do two endeavors at the same time like that. Did you switch over to singing and songwriting and things like that and put the other aside?
Yeah, it was extremely challenging. I was in the advanced choir at my school, and there's like 50 performances a year. Like, it's crazy. You know, we miss a lot of school because we do a lot of community stuff, and it's just an amazing choir. You know, they rank in state every year. So I wasn't really expecting to get in this choir. I was only 15, I believe.
Uh-huh.
So it was like a real kind of like a shock, and I was, you know, I'd been playing basketball since fifth grade, so that was already like, I was already on the team. That was not an issue. And we got both our schedules. And I looked at him, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to work. So I told the coach, I said, you know, what's your policy? Because it was a new coach. And, you know, because I would like to do both if I can. And his whole thing was, you know, you can't play if you're not at practice. And that's your choice. I can't tell you to, you know, miss a choir performance to come to practice, but I'm just telling you, you can't play. Yeah. So I was kind of put in a position where I, like, needed to choose, and I had to sit down with my parents and be really serious for a minute, you know, weigh the pros and cons, and team came out on top, for sure.
Your parents are very supportive. Did they have any desires to have you do something else before they found out how good you were and how committed you would be to it?
They knew I was looking into college basketball, and I had tried some marketing management classes in school. And in my senior year, I was actually at a tech class taking cosmetology. So I took cosmetology school, and I have already done that. So that's kind of like a backup. But I was, you know, I was enrolled at college. I wasn't expecting to get this singing opportunity. So, yeah, I was in a university locally, and all I needed to do was sign up for classes, and I never did. So I got busy with singing.
Sounds a little risky, but you're doing it, and that's actually inspiring. And others will look up to you soon, because it looks like you're going places, Kanisha.
Yeah, I hope so.
You said you were in band. What did you play?
I played the saxophone.
How good were you?
Well, I think I at one point I got first chair, so I was pretty good. But then there was a kid next to me who was extremely serious.
Yeah,
he was just gonna keep challenging me until he got the chair. So I just said, you know, you can have it. I don't mind being second chair.
Yeah, my son played trombone in his high school band, and we sort of learned about those experiences. But it's fun, right?
Yeah, it was fun, and I also tried guitar, and I took piano starting in first grade. So I always was doing some kind of music, but, you know, saxophone was just like the last instrument, and then it was singing.
Yeah, and singing is what you're getting noticed for now. You had two breakthrough singles. One was at the holidays, I Found Love Just in Time for Christmas,
yeah,
which went top 10. And then you have another breakout hit right behind that, and it's called My Another Day. Now, all these songs that you're working on, how many of the writing credits belong to you?
On the original CD, I co-wrote two. I co-wrote Stupid Boyfriend, and I co-wrote My All.
My All, okay.
I didn't do a ton of writing on my first album. I think my producer at the time didn't really want me to be overwhelmed with things, since I had to learn at a young age how to even sing in the studio. So, you know, I was very lucky to have really great writers from Nashville and LA sending him material and demos that I could listen to and pick from.
Well, that's wonderful. So Stupid Boyfriend was really good. I liked it. I'll tell you right now, you're doing the right thing as far as you know, being a, as they call you, a pop songstress. Some critics said that about you. But you know, you're fitting in just fine. It seems that the people that are producing you are making you sound the way you should for the pop market. But
yeah.
When I heard Stupid Boyfriend, who produced that one, by the way?
Jason Miles. He's a Grammy-winning producer, which is crazy that I've even got to work with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, going into his studio, I see, you know, he did They Don't Care About Us for Michael Jackson. I'm like, are you serious? Like, why are you even working with me? But, you know, I really appreciate it. It's just crazy, you know? And so, yeah, he was great to work with, and that's really why the song came out the way it did.
Such a way.
Tell me how he was to work with. Was he a patient man, or you know, was he, did he have an attitude, or was he just really, really nice to you? What, how did this go with him?
He's a very blunt person.
There you go.
It wasn't a problem because, you know, I want to know what I can do, and he was nice about it. He was very to the point, and we worked extremely well together. It was a really great experience, and, you know, he's been in this industry so long and knows so many people. Just to hear his stories, it's crazy, and I could learn so much from him. And he really just helped me, and, you know, it's great to work with these people that, you know, have zero ego and just are there to work with you. And looks like we're going to be writing in the future, so.
Oh, great.
You know, the opportunity just opened up another door, so, yeah.
But you're kind of like a sponge now. You're just soaking it all in and learning, right?
Yeah, truly I am. I bring a notebook everywhere. And when I get a tip or, you know, I get the opportunity to be there with background singers. A lot of them are very accomplished. Like on my Christmas song, those were James Taylor's background singers. So to see them, I would just sit there and write notes the entire time. And I just wanted to, you know, get everything in my mind and try to use it and just make sure that I paid attention for sure.
Now, Stupid Boyfriend hasn't been released though, right? It's going to be a single.
Yep. Okay. It has not been released yet.
I'm going to feature it. I liked it that much.
That's awesome.
It's very cute. You co-wrote it with whom?
I'm drunk. Greg Barnhill.
Okay. Better make sure that you get that right.
Yeah.
Never ever forget to mention your co-writers. They're very important.
Yeah. You left your phone in the kitchen right where I could see it, but I know better than to let you go and call it even about the only thing I'm really gonna miss. I won't have your Visa card to finish up my shopping list.
Kind of a throwback. If I had an 80s playlist, which I do, and I tossed that in there, and I don't think anybody would know that that wasn't a song that was 30 years old.
Yeah, I think we were going for, I mean, you hear Pharrell's new stuff out. It's very retro. Some of Bruno Mars is retro, and
right.
Daft Punk. That's kind of, he knew somebody that plays for Daft Punk's album, and he actually ended up playing on Stupid Boyfriend, so they kind of had this idea of how they wanted it to be, really funky and just a little bit retro, because they feel like music eventually, after, you know, all electronic sound stuff, they think it's really going to start going back to more retro. So I was definitely down to try it, and I think it sounds cool.
So I'm glad to see you're doing that. Do you like that style, or is it just fun to play with it and you'd rather do something a little different?
I feel like it was just fun, and it was out of all my, you know, out of the pop songs, those are the more musical ones. Those are the more soulful ones, and I do have a soulful voice, so it's funny that something like that, or My Another Day, which the vocals are, you know, more challenging, those are a lot more easy for me than like Bring Me Home. Like Bring Me Home, the really pop one that we're just about to release.
Yeah.
That was more challenging because you have to be so precise, and I have to, you know, take the vibrato out of my voice because it won't match the song right or whatever it is. So it's very, you have to be very strict with yourself on those kind of songs, which people would think, oh, well, that's pretty straight singing. Isn't that easy? And it's not for me. So it's totally different. That's why when I worked with Jason, I think we basically knocked out vocals on that song in a couple hours.
Did he have to sort of, train's not the right word, but did he have to direct you on how to get those vocals the way it should have sounded for that song?
He did not at all.
Okay, you had an instinct? You know how to do it?
Well, he came in, and I already had a separate version of the song, which is on iTunes, and some of the radio hosts that had been getting it were saying, you know, this is a really good concept, but we think some of the sounds are dated or whatever. So we didn't want to waste the song. We wanted to try it in a different form. So when Jason said he wanted to do it, I didn't know what I was, like, getting into. I had no idea how he was going to style the song. I had no idea that I was redoing all my vocals. I didn't know, I was just going to go to New York and meet him in a studio. So as soon as I get there, he's like, okay, and I'll sing with this. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, I just had to go on, you know, on the fly. But I think that's why it's so cool, because it's really just what came out, and it's very natural, and it wasn't very produced at all.
Your voice, would you consider that your main instrument?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So how do you take care of it? I understand that you developed it probably on your own and then inquired. Do you have any coach that you work with?
I just started working with a coach out of Chicago. His name's Jeff Morrow, and he's amazing. Like, literally after one lesson, you could tell a difference in my voice. He's just so helpful, and it's very important to take care of your voice, and I'm just now starting to do live performing. And I have a couple of shows that are coming up, and I've never sang that long, especially, you know, a lot of the songs I sing require a lot of vocals and, you know, all over the map as far as high and lows and very powerful singing. So I really needed some guidance on how to maintain that through my whole performance. I have one up to 90 minutes. So, you know, working with someone like him, he's going to teach me all the tricks to make it a little bit easier for me. And when you sing for that long, sometimes you'll go to bad habits because it's easier, and that's going to ruin your vocals. So you definitely need to sing healthy and learn how to do it the right way.
Your first time going with this coach, did you was it like a workout? Was it tough at first, and then you get the hang of it?
Yeah, definitely. It's like a literal workout. Like, you leave there sweating, and he said he's had students just lay on the floor after the lesson because it's so intense. I mean, you're just working your diaphragm and all that air coming out. It's really like cardio, kind of.
I believe it.
It really is a workout.
Yeah. I'm talking with Kanisha Kay. She's a pop singer from Holland, Michigan, which is about 200 miles west of Detroit, way on the other side of the state. Reason I mentioned Detroit is because a legendary musician and producer from that side of the tracks took a shine to you. He is Robin Roberts from Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Pretty cool.
Yeah, he kind of picked me up out of the sky, really, because I just had a video on YouTube from one school performance I did. I sang Stormy Weather by Etta James at one of the end of the year concerts, and we had a mutual friend in common that we didn't realize, because I didn't know who Robin was, and I didn't even know he lived in West Michigan. And once we found that out, you know, my dad was really interested, and Robin ended up, you know, agreeing to meet with us, and he wanted to because he saw the video. And, you know, I go to his studio, and he's like, hey, have you thought about making an album? And I'm like, you want the real answer? No. Like, what? That's not just something everybody thinks of, you know, because it's just a dream, and, you know, not everybody can follow their dreams because it takes a lot, and a lot of people have to have a regular job and things like that. So after a lot of thinking, my parents, you know, we're like, you know what, we think you really have the talent, and we think we should give it a try, and we're going to support you 100%.
That
so
is great.
That was really crazy.
Fantastic. So this was your first project then, huh?
Yeah. Yep. This is the first project.
Well, it sounds to me that God's blessed you with the opportunity and two supportive parents. I don't know how you can go wrong here. You're on your way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so lucky to have parents that, you know, I mean, I can't have a regular job because I travel so much with recording and stuff, so the fact that my parents allow me to live at home, do my dream, it's crazy.
Well, they're taking a gamble with you, I think, because that's good that they're doing this. But yeah, that's not the normal story. A lot of people do have to have a second job to just to keep stability.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're, you have the chops, so to speak. You have some good talent there.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So this is very cool. You had a top 40 and a top 10 single. That's awesome. What did you do when that happened? Were you jumping up and down or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, you get very excited and you can't really believe it. It's surreal. A lot of the things that happen, people think, oh, it's going to be a big celebration, but just you don't believe it. Like, I don't believe it. Right. I've heard myself, I think, on the radio 2 or 3 times, and all the times I freak out and I cry because I'm like, this is crazy. Like, until you actually hear yourself, it's crazy, and you don't believe it until you hear it, so...
Yeah.
So it's great.
And this kind of stuff is fleeting, so you never know. It could go away at any minute, but you're fortunate to be in a time where music has changed. The record business is not what it used to be, so it's kind of like the sky's the limit now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very happy for you. The song, My Another Day, what is that about?
Well, when I got the track, it to me was kind of like, I always thought of it as, you know, like a woman going through a tough time in her life, whether that's a breakup or something like that, and looking for another day of positivity and being, you know, finally reaching that point where they can stop being upset and, you know, start getting back on their feet. And I looked at it in a relationship standpoint, but once it was released, somebody wrote on my fan page, saying, you know, this song touched me so much. You know, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it changed my view on how this was going to go. You know, I was able to look at life different and, you know, really gave me motivation that, you know, I have been through hard times, but I can change. So that was like, holy cow. You know, I didn't envision that it would hit people in so many different ways, but it really opened up my mind to, you know, wow, my music really does touch people in all different ways.
It's an amazing thing, isn't it?
It is.
So it was like a healing song for breaking up with somebody, but it got adopted as something a little bit deeper than that, huh?
I would just say healing in general, though, because now that I hear it after somebody saying that to me, it's like, you know what, this person is right. Like, this could be for anything somebody goes through. And my another day, you want another day that's better than the last, you know?
Yeah, the fans will tell you when...
They'll sort of point you in the right direction, right?
Some of them.
how is it that you get... you know, it's always interesting how people get a fan base. How did you end up getting all your fans?
Facebook and Reverb Nation was one of the main places. That's for any people that want to do music or things like that. Reverb Nation is the number one page I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
You get to interact with so many people, and it's like one of those websites where you fan somebody and they'll fan you back, no problem. You know, you don't have to, it's not like a competition on there. It's just like everyone wants to support everybody. Anybody could put music up, and it's just a great place to meet people, and a lot of people just want to know other musicians and things like that, so it's a really great music site, and that's where I get a lot of my fans.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I don't want to end this interview before I mention that you have a single that you're going to be releasing. It's called Bring Me Home, a very powerful pop track. Who wrote this?
Larry King, Molly Hunt, and Joey Scott. They all wrote it, and Molly Hunt is also a singer.
Right. The Larry King you're referring to is producer Larry King?
Yeah, he produced the song, and I'm actually having a writing session with him next week. So we're going to sit down, and I think Bring Me Home is going to do really well, so I'm excited to write more things like that. And I was really lucky to get the song. It was already made. Somebody else was going to do it, and they, for whatever reason, decided not to release it, so it was available, and I fell in love with it as soon as I heard it, and I was just like, so you're telling me this song, I can do this song? And they're like, yeah, if you want to do it, do it. So within the next week, we already had a meeting set up, and we were just planning on dates for me to get in the studio.
Sounds like you're having a great time with this. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. It really is.
Well, absolutely it is. Yeah, it takes a toll on you mentally too, right?
Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, people think, oh, you get to sing, you must have a fun job. And it's like, yeah, there's times where it's really fun, but the stress never stops. It's not like a 9-to-5 job where you can come home afterwards. You know, I'll get emails at 12 o'clock at night or, you know, early in the morning, you need to rush to go do this. And it's like, you know, there's no specific hours. And, you know, studio, there's definitely not specific hours for that either, you know.
Right.
Bring Me Home, I think the first day I was in the studio for 10 hours.
Wow. That's,
and then the next day you go back for a few more. But, I mean, you know, yeah, the song's awesome. I absolutely love it. But I think people don't know how much work actually goes into one song or in promotion of one song or whatever it is, you know.
I know what it's like a little bit. But, yeah, that 10 hours, when you said that, that makes a lot of, that brings back memories of you're trying to get it right, and or it just takes a long time, and you enjoyed yourself, but you could go home kind of with a either tired or with a headache, and then you have to start over. Even though you're having a great time with it, it's work.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually I go in really stressed and really nervous. I have very high anxiety, so usually I start my day off like that, and then within, you know, 20 minutes, I'm a little bit more relaxed and starting to get in the groove of things, and by the end of the day, usually I'm pretty fried, and my mom comes with me, so she's really nice about just, you know, we go to dinner, we go back to the room and chill and have a nice night, you know, maybe have a drink or two just to relax. And then, you know, the next day you got to get up and do it again. So it's comforting having her with me or my father because, you know, when you're done with work, to have that one person that you could just, you know, you're familiar with and you feel normal again and you feel relaxed, like a piece of home's with you, it's really great.
Yeah, well, make sure you listen to them. You may think you're the boss soon, but
I don't think that'll ever happen in
good,
my house.
Good. I'm sure they appreciate that. You know, I'm just kidding around about that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. One more thing. Larry King Studio, I heard that was pretty cool. Could you tell me about that? That's in Chicago, right?
It's actually Northfield, so it's a little bit out of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
But it's really nice. He has a studio in the bottom of a bank, so it was the old bank vault. So it's, like, totally so cool to go down there. And
nice.
Yeah, and I'm like, don't the bankers upstairs get kind of frustrated? You know?
So it's an operating bank, but you go down in the vault and they can record.
Yeah, and they say, no, we've only had one experience where they had a drummer come in. I forgot what band he was from, and he drummed so hard. Somebody actually came down with, like, you think you guys could be quiet?
is this by chance called Sound Bank Studios?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that cool? What a name.
Yeah, Sound Bank. They wanted to call it The Vault, but I guess that was already taken.
I heard of this place, yeah. So that's so it really is a bank, and it has a sound studio.
Yes, definitely
that's,
it is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be watching you. You keep it up. I really, I'm in your corner. I'm on Team Kanisha.
Okay.
What is
Is K actually your last name, or what's the K stand for?
Well, Kanisha's my middle name.
Uh-huh.
Leslie's my first name, and my last name is Kasten, so the K is for Kasten, so Kanisha K was just kind of very catchy, and we used that because we thought it would be a little bit easier to remember than Leslie, whatever, you know, so
yeah.
Kanisha K it was.
Well, that's catchy enough. When you say we, you talking about your parents and you or somebody else?
We just kind of talked it over when I started recording because we were going to think of, you know, how do you want to be referred to, and I always thought Kanisha was a cool name, a little bit different, and I kind of like the fact that it's not my real, like, it is my name, but it's not, like, what I'm usually called, so unless I'm doing anything music-related, I'm just Leslie, you know, and I think that kind of keeps me normal, too, because then it's just, like, there's Kanisha time, and then every other time is Leslie, so, I don't know, it's just kind of, it's better that way, I think.
Do you think you're becoming two different people now? You're Kanisha one, and then you're Leslie with your parents, or...
Yeah, well, I try to, when I'm Kanisha, I try to be extremely professional, and that's when I'm really in my work mindset, and then Leslie's just kind of goofy and fun and happy person.
Well, I'm happy that I got to meet both of you on the phone. It was really a treat. Thank you so much, Kanisha K. I will be promoting your music, and I really want to thank you for coming on my radio program.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
For the latest on Kanisha K, visit KanishaKMusic.com. I'm Dean Olson, and thanks for listening. This is Strong Rider on the radio. We'll see you next Friday. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Strong Rider on the radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the amazing women and men of power, the world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.